Lynn Newton. Today is February the 12th, 1994. I'm in the home of Velma Collins, who lives north of town. So many people inquire about this lovely big brick home at the edge of town, and so we're going to let Velma tell her story. She can begin with her how.
My father designed it. I don't know who helped him. I wish I had some blueprints that would tell me more about it. But anyway, it's here, and by and large, it's just like he planned it. Very little that's been done to it. Made it a little larger. Mother added a couple of rooms that were advantageous. I was glad, even though they made the house too big for me as an adult and as a widow. But I grew up out here, and it didn't look like it does now, because now it's full of beautiful antiques that Daddy collected through the years, mainly from New Orleans. And when I came out here with John some 20 years ago, it was full. Daddy bought things, as he said, they're cheaper by the dozen. So he had the house full. Mother, getting older, didn't want to change anything. And we had a time getting rid of some things. But we came out with a lovely, lovely home for us. And I was sorry that John didn't get to enjoy it. But 1 year, I've been here 20 years as a widow. And it's been a lovely setting, and I'm very, very thankful that I've had this beauty to look at.
How long did John get to live in this home after he fixed it?
John lived here 1 year to the month. We moved out here in July of 1973, and he died in, no, 72, and he died in July of 73 to the month. Well, that sort of changed my life considerably. But here I am as an older woman and enjoying the beauty that Daddy provided for me and that John and I assembled. We brought lots of things from our house in town out here, sold a lot of things, gave as much as we could to our children. The form of the house is just like houses were in that day and time, the two-story houses, a bedroom on each corner upstairs, and a sleeping porch. Down below the sleeping porch was what they called a sunroom or sun parlor, and that's the way I still call it when I show the house to people. There was a big dining room and a big living room and a music room, and then a porte cochere with a circular drive, which had to be done away with eventually, because people would come out and just love to go around, anybody just ride around it on their way to and from town. But anyway, Mother then added what she called the garden room, and enclosed the porte cochere and made a library out of it. So it's a pretty good sized house, but it's full of the prettiest antiques that they had acquired, and I love them all. They have history behind it, and I never fail to enjoy telling people about it when they're interested. I don't want to bore people with all of the details about this and that and the other. But I can remember living out here as a child when, busy. I was an only child, but we always had people around. There was plenty to eat because we had a great big vegetable garden, a huge vegetable garden. We had an orchard. We had cows, Guernsey cows. We had all kinds of pets. I can remember through the years, you name it, we had it. Guineas and peafowl. Daddy had little dogs that he loved, and other dogs all through the years. They were not particularly mine, but they were here for me to enjoy if I wanted to. And then
my horses.
We had horses. There was a horse barn, and I can remember having mules do a lot of work. And they did a lot of work, too. They accomplished in one day. Mr. Shipman could tell me things that he did in one day now that they spend more than that on, even when they have machines to accomplish the same thing. But nevertheless, it's a different story. Then he did build a swimming pool, and all the children in the family loved that. And then he added a tennis court. And I never was very good at anything like that, but then I tried and had fun. No, I had to study. When I came along, that's what children did.
Well, wait, before you get into that, tell us a little bit more about the outbuildings and some of the people who worked here in the early days, if you can.
All right, there were a number of outhouses, Negro families that lived here. One house was not too far from Mr. Shipman's home, and to this day I call it the Frank Winters house because that's where the colored family lived. And he worked in the fields and farming and so forth. She worked in the house. And then up in the field there was another house. I've forgotten the family that lived up there. But
is that the little house that still stands up there in the field?
Yes, it's just barely standing.
John used to put hay in it.
Yes, uh-huh. And then there was a barn up there. Of course, there was a lot to do out here, really. And I can remember they were killing hogs and Mother rendering the lard down in the basement. And I can remember her running the separator down in the basement. So there was never...
Well, now your basement is so interesting. Tell us what the basement is like. Because so many people in our community do not have basements.
Well, this is a full basement. I mean, under all of the house except the two rooms that my mother added considerably later. And that makes a pretty good sized basement. There was one room that was kept locked because it had all kinds of canned goods, not only home canned, but bought. As I say, Daddy bought things like cakes when it came to canned goods. And I can even remember one Christmas when I was an older girl, he filled the fireplace up there in the upstairs with canned goods instead of other little things that people usually use at Christmas time. But anyhow, then I can remember there was one room down there where the separators was, and that took a lot of shelves, and Mother worked so hard with that because there were pans of milk, and we had homemade butter. We had homemade buttermilk, and Daddy loved clabber, so it was all good eating, I'll tell you. And when Mother killed hogs, oh my, the basement was just full of good and bad aromas. But those were busy days, and it seemed like there was a lot of activity around here because there were so many people.
But now, did she do her washing downstairs?
Yes.
And carried it outside?
The laundry room was in the farthest corner of the basement, and she had one of the first mangles, I guess, because it's an antique gas concern.
You still have that in your
basement? Still have it in my basement, and I have thought about getting rid of it and selling it to the company for their old shows, but it's so heavy, I've just left it there.
Yeah.
But the clothes were hung out on the line, and it was not too close to the house either, over there by Miss Shannon's house. But at one time, I can remember there was an Englishman who worked here, and he lived up over the garage, and there was a little cement walk leading to the cow barn. and the stanchions are still out there in that barn, by the way. And he just did the milking and took care of the cows. I don't know what else he did, but that we had a number of Guernsey cows, so I guess he had a good bit to do. What else do you want to know?
I know. Now, tell them about the size of the barn, because I think the barn is so interesting.
That the cow barn is huge. In fact, there are three big barns out here. I think the cow barn is not quite as large as the horse barn, one that's beyond that. There was a fourth barn on the east side that burned.
I read that in the newspaper. I read an article of it that the R.L. Jones barn burned.
I can remember, I came home from Tulsa that day and saw the smoke coming up from that, and it had just barely stopped in being in flames. But Daddy said the only thing that he could think of was that some hobo was sleeping in there and smoked and caught the hay or whatever on fire. There is a barn there, but it's not a big one like the one that was there. So that made, at one time, four big barns there. Well, anyway.
Now back up, how about your water? I noticed some old watering troughs out there, too.
We have several wells on the place. There's one down by the barn. There's one right behind Mr. Shipman's house. And there's one right here at my back door. That's free. I don't know how many, whether we're any more or not. And of course, then the big pond down here was for livestock.
Okay, now before you leave the early time, I remember the little house that used to sit about down there in the area where the Maddox, didn't the Maddox live there?
Yes, I think the Maddox lived there.
And I don't know who lived there before them, but.
Then there was another little house in that big pasture where the cook and her husband lived. Then there was one down east where the Shattucks. No, I'm not sure.
Was it the Hines family? Was there a Hines family that ever lived in? Was there a two-story house?
Yes, that was the house that was Daddy bought in town. I understood that it was the old Laurel Hotel.
Oh.
That had been my impression all the time, that that was the old Laurel Hotel that was bought and moved out there. But I've heard other reports since then on the hotel, and it didn't include that.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Well, let me ask you, how far did your land go to the south here? To 11th Street?
11th Street. No, 12th.
To 12th Street. 12th. Yeah, that's right.
Uh-huh. 12th. It went to 12th Street. Well, and that's the way it was. The first intrusion into the plot that Daddy bought was the turnpike. And, of course, we had to have a way to get the cows, and they built a tunnel of some kind for the cows to come through. And then it was so low, it filled up with water, and they didn't like it. So I think Daddy had to build another pond up there, above there. It brought problems. Well, then 16, you see, divided that, and so that's when the industrial buildings went up over there, because it wasn't good for pasture, there's no water, divided the pond and the house. But I had always thought that my two boys would settle here someday, and I found out there that they all have their own interests. And so, I'm here.
Well, tell us about the name, name of the farm.
Yes, that is interesting. It's Realview, but it's not spelled V-I-E-W. It's spelled R-E-L-V-U-E, because that was the way my father started it. Now, the first three letters, R-E-L, are his initials. His birth name was Robert Edward Lee Jones, and he was named for General Robert E. Lee, because Lee, General Lee, was so revered in the South. But that was too many initials to write all the time, so Daddy always signed his name as R.L. Jones and called Bob, I think, in the early days, rather than Robert. His mother called him Robert. But and he decided on the V-U-E instead of V-I-E-W. So this place is known as Railview Farm or Railview Place. I'm not just sure which. I just call it Railview.
Do you know how many acres it entailed originally?
Yes, I think it was at least 600, maybe a little more. I'm not just sure before all this came. But it soon dwindles when you get highways through it because you have to give them the right-of-way so many feet.
And then
feet.
I remember when they built the big lake up there, that was on
Yes, that is half on Railview and half on the McKelvey. And the conservation or soil conservation people take care of that. I'm glad because I don't even get up there very often. But that was a good thing. I know. The best conservation that I mean that has brought the best results really to this part was some of the dams up there, the bigger lakes. I can remember one time only when we were marooned out here. Believe it or not, it doesn't look high, but we were surrounded by water. It was frightening.
Little creek, sand creek.
It was just the solid water. All down in the valley, little valley there, and all out there, nothing but water. We couldn't have gotten out except west. Mm. And I can remember one time when I was a girl, we had so much snow that we couldn't get me to school. So the Leets, remember the
Leets? The dairy
out there. They came by in a buggy and took a roundabout way to school over on the east side.
That's the old high school over there.
Old two-story, I think, sandstone block house. And I know when I got there, I think my hands were so cold, they were really frostbitten. the teacher worked on them for a long time because they were just icy by the time that we got it slow going. Horse and buggy in deep snow from here over there. That was a long trip. But I have memories of that school. Do you want me to
tell you? Yes. Tell me about that school.
There was not much grass on that yard there.
Well, now, is it in the same block that Washington School?
Right. It's right there. Mm-hmm. Just right there. And it was a two-story. And we thought it was enormous. And we thought it was real nice. But one thing I can remember over there, we had a maypole dance. And it was the real thing. I don't know who put it up or who put the streamers, but I can remember in and out, twining as the music played till we got it woven clear down to the bottom. And I can remember on Friday afternoon, the teacher would read us a book. It would be a continuous thing. Each Friday, for an hour, say. I remember Gladys Banks was the one I recall really vividly, that she had a nice speaking voice, and she was a good teacher. And I can remember Orba Hankins over there. And we learned math, too. But the rooms were quiet. There was no gum chewing. There was no tittering. It was all business. But we learned, and then of course that building burned. And I can't remember where I went to school while other arrangements were being made, but I do remember going to school over there. And
did you take your lunch? Or did you come back home for lunch?
I just don't remember, but we probably took it. You know, it was quite a deal.
Because they didn't have cafeterias.
No cafeterias. And so lunch pails were in order, I'm sure. I can remember then later, we lived on West 11th. And that's where I learned to skate. There must have been a little sidewalk along there.
But now, when did you build this home?
This home was built in 1917 and I think over into 18. But when we lived on West 11th, that's where I learned to skate. And I can't remember.
Which house did you live in on West 11th?
Oh, long where you live, somewhere along in there. And the Flair's house or somewhere right in there. I would go across the alley to school.
Did you live across the street from Clint Brown? Is that where?
Clint Brown?
And your mother's brother, didn't he live in Eleanor's? Didn't he live in a brown house there?
I can't remember that. No, I don't remember Clint living there. I remember Jim Brown, her brother's wife, lived on near this where the school, the gym is now, in one of those. I think the one that's been moved away.
Yes, I remember them living
remember
there.
Them, but I can't remember Clint living there. I doubt if he was probably in the army. I know he was in the army. But I know I learned to skate there
on 11th.
Because I had too many holes in my long black stockings. Every time you fell down, it'd be a hole. And of course, I wore high button shoes, and black. Then I had some white lace ones that were a little high, too. And I can remember wearing navy blue serge midi blouse and pleated skirt. So I think that must have been the uniform almost because we wore it so much. And
your hair was black then.
Yeah. My hair was really dark. And I always had a lot of it then too. But those were fun days. And I can remember going through the alley to the school, where I don't know what building. I don't remember that.
Let's see, when did you graduate? When were you born, Novella?
I was not born in Bristol, but I was born in 1906. And but we moved here from Cushing in 1913, I think. Yes, 1913.
And you lived first then on 11th Street.
I think so. But we had lived in another white house, not the two-story white house, but where the old motel was. There was the one-story white house that we lived there a while.
Oh, you mean on the Main Street?
On Main Street.
Next to the Carmans? Did you live next to Neva?
Yes. I think it was something between that two-story white house.
Mr. Sharp then lived.
Yes, Mr. Sharp was superintendent of schools when I came along, and I remember him vividly. And then we lived up over the American National Bank. Now, some of those places might have been while this house was being built. I'm not sure.
And where was the American National Bank at that time? Do you remember? Was it on the corner of 7th?
Yeah, 7th and Main.
7th and Main. Yeah.
And like I told you, one of an interesting thing is that we lived up there, and that stairway was so high because the ceilings were high in the bank, and we could look out onto Main Street. Then in later years, after I married, I took my baby Roland up there, a little boy rather, toddler, to see a parade from that same little turret type of room that was there.
Well, at that time, did they have lawyers and dentists and everything up there, and in the apartment too?
Yeah, up there. And that's where we lived, up there. It was in an apartment. But I don't think that was long. It was probably while this house was being built. Now, that's my recollection.
But you didn't, that was the last place you lived before you moved here then, to this house?
Well, either that or the little white house, there on Main. I can't remember the move itself out here. I don't know how I just got here somehow, but it didn't make an impression on me. I guess I didn't have much to do with it, you know. It was probably too little. But I can remember going into the Mother Jones house that was where Doodle Hamilton's house is now, that first house. I can remember going into that old...
Well, I thought it was on the corner where the parking lot.
No, it was where the garden was.
Oh, where the garden was. Oh, okay.
The garden, she had the garden to outline the old house.
I see.
That was the very...
The iris garden and all those gardens.
Sentimental, and you remember she had the little pergola out there and
yes.
All kinds of flowers. That followed the outline of the old stone block house, which is comparable to the old Abraham house. Mm-hmm.
I can kind of remember that, just faintly.
And that house had a little turret in it, too. Mm-hmm. And my daddy was so sentimental. When that house was torn down, he brought those stone blocks there out here in the pasture, right now, from that
early I remember day. Carrying one of those stone blocks. They were so big and heavy, but well cut, and put it out at my picnic site out there and made a step out of it. Beautifully cut stone.
Yeah, they worked on it, and it might have been just old lady sandstone, but they worked till they got it a nice looking
piece
for building. And Daddy brought a plant. There's a plant out here. I just call it a thorn bush. I don't know what else to call it. It has mock oranges.
Oh, yes, right out here in the corner.
They're poisonous.
Yeah.
But that is from her house up there.
Well, do you know, I took several of your mock oranges and planted them just out in my wilderness in my front yard, and I've got one about this tall. I planted it out there several years ago, and then I've got another one about that tall.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, but I didn't realize that came from Miss Jones.
That's from her house, and I can remember always avoiding that thing because the thorns, you know, quite
very
long and vicious looking, and I'm sure they're vicious feeling because I have trouble getting people who want to prune that.
Yeah. Well, I just took some of the little orange balls and planted them around. I thought, well, maybe something will grow. And I noticed last year I had one in among some other things where it shouldn't be, but it's about that tall. But out there, I just have to plant wherever I can find a space between the rocks.
Well, I'm glad it's something.
I'll show it to you sometime.
I'd love to see it. I'd love to see it because I do remember that thing. Up there in that yard. And I can remember Aunt Allie would dress us up, Mama Carl and Etta Field and I were the ones that she doted on. And we'd wobble around in her old high heel shoes and put the lace over our heads. And I think she took our pictures there, but I don't know whether I still have any or not. But
it would be fun if you ever run across any of that. We could copy.
I know where they probably are.
And we can put them in the museum.
Yes. But we had lots of fun up there, all the children. She was good to the children, and Daddy was good to all the children. And I can remember swimming in a sort of a natural little circular place down there in the pasture. You know where the bridge is?
Yeah, where the bridge is. There's a perfect little place
right
down
in there. I think that was the original swimming pool out here before this one.
But we must have had more water at that time.
Yeah, more water, I'm sure. But and I think the contour was different. It's changed, probably.
Yeah.
But I know there was enough water there that we could go swimming. Not all the time.
Yeah.
Some, at least it was.
Well, it's such a pretty area down there.
Uh-huh. That was more natural looking then than it is
now.
But I can remember I didn't want to learn to swim. They had to make me learn to swim. I was afraid of the water. But Nims MacMillan used to help me when we go out on church picnics. That was a big deal. I'd go with the Baptists, I remember, out to some creek. It was a lovely spot. We'd get on the tire swings and go out over, you know, and drop off. And, oh, I didn't. because I was little and scared. But it was fine. It was fine.
Okay, before we leave the farm now, can tell me as many names as you can of families or people that have worked out here, or lived out here, if you can think of any.
Well, now I can't remember the names of very many of the colors, except Frank Winters.
Frank Winters.
And his wife was named Rosa. And Rosa worked in the house. And then there was another one that waited on tables and on the table and helped in the kitchen. Oh, let's see. I was trying to think of the name of the cook, but her last name was Jones, and her husband. She lived over in the pasture. And Minnie, I'm not sure. But anyway, she was the cook. And you don't think, well, with one child, you'd have much to do. But there was, because Daddy always had a lot of company. Always a lot of company.
Your mother always cooked.
Oh, and she was there to see that it was done right and do most of it. And there weren't many meals in the morning of cold cereal. There were cooked breakfasts. And I mean meals. Hot biscuits. Daddy loved hot biscuits. We had them three times a day. So ham that you had cured, chickens.
Now your chickens were right behind the house in this area here.
I think so.
And then all those sheds there were for wagons and
just
tools.
All
tractors.
I don't think there were many tractors, but the implements like the old plows and. Then to store hay, you see, and to,
and you had your own water tower.
Oh, yes, because we had these wells. And I remember that was not always an easy thing, because sometimes it would use too much, you know, and we had to keep it going right. And then Mother went to the city, and that didn't work either. There were always troubles. So now I'm on city water with no trouble, but there were days when we wouldn't have enough.
Now, are you all on sewage now?
No, I had septic tanks.
Septic tanks.
Three septic tanks. But you talked about names.
Yes.
See, Noah Shipman was still living when John died, and he had worked for Daddy for years and years and years, and reared a family out.
Now that's Betty Wallman.
Betty Wallman.
Father.
And she grew up out here. So I feel like Betty's almost a part of the family. And I felt like Mr. Shippen was part of the family too. He was so good to me. Here I was, see, left with this big place on my hands. And he had been here for a long time. He came originally from Missouri. Daddy got him, brought him down here. And I don't know whether... How many of the children were born in Bristol? It's probably Betty.
Well, did he meet him through his camp?
No, that was before the camp, long before the camp. The camp came later when Daddy was much older. I don't know just when he acquired that, but that was a big deal.
And this was... Tell just a little bit about his interest in the boys.
I guess he really missed having a boy in the family. And he always said, like Mr. Kirshner, he said, well, when you help a boy, you help a whole family. Mm-hmm. Because they do establish a family and they have that responsibility. So you help many people when you help a boy. And he was always giving things to boys. He did not want them to smoke. Some of them betrayed his trust. They promised not to smoke and then went right into town and did. But he also had a, what he called, Bob's Club, I think, in high school. He established a prize or something for the most dependable boy. Now that was later, because I think Roger was in high school when that came. And the school would have given it to Roger, but we didn't want Roger to accept it because it looked too much like it had been rigged.
It wasn't fair, though.
No, it wasn't fair to Roger, but anyway, that's the way it was. So he had to take it, bless his heart. But Daddy was real good, real interested in boys, and I suppose he should have had a half a dozen.
Well, he did so many things for the community that people didn't even know about.
That's right. I came across an article, an old newspaper article the other day, where it was telling about that he had established these scholarships. I get no, that wasn't the term. For the Lions Club and the Rotary, mm-hmm. gave them each $10,000, which was a big sum then.
In those days.
And they were to give scholarships for people who needed it to go to school. And he gave PEO a small scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still using it. It's intact. In fact, it's not. It hadn't grown much because we keep the money going,
yeah.
the interest going. But I don't think the Rotary and the Lions Club they don't have their money yet.
Don't know whether they have the money. I think Rotary still has a scholarship. I don't know if they have that original amount.
I don't either. But when he gave that Legion Huff, that was a big, big donation.
And such a wonderful thing for the community.
I think so, too, and I wish it could be used more. But maybe it could be worked out someday. And there was a grand piano there, I remember, at one time. There was an enormous grand piano in the high school.
Well, it's still there.
Auditorium. It's a wonder it's still going, but then I still have the piano that I practiced on, the same make as the one that Daddy gave everywhere.
I don't think that grand piano has ever been replaced from that stage. It's been on that stage ever since I can remember.
Really?
Still there.
That's good. I can remember one time that I didn't know about it because Daddy never did tell me. You know, I came up in the era where children should be seen and not heard. So if I heard anything, I never said anything about it. But he gave typewriters to students here in town because I had one of the Farhawk girls.
Oh, I think Jeff Jordan and Lance Roberts and all those kids.
So Daddy just loved to do things like that.
And he was very thrifty about everything
that he did. Yes. And he was great on kids learning to keep books. Mm-hmm. He liked that. He thought that,
it was good training.
Uh-huh. And it really was, because I can remember down in the basement, in the big room, and I mean, as you mentioned, that basement's a pretty good size.
Mm-hmm.
There was plenty of room for a big table with lots of boys around. But anyway, now I don't...
All right, now... While you're still talking about your father, go back and tell us as far back as you can remember. Maybe you know who his father was, so that we'll have this for a genealogy record, too.
Well, Daddy's mother was one of two girls living in Virginia, and they were late teens. 16 to 18, I think, somewhere along in there, at the time of the Civil War. The father, I think, had passed away in the war, probably. The mother contracted pneumonia, which was almost fatal then, and she got sick from getting up at all times of the night to give soldiers who would come by, give them food, and died. Leaving two girls, no boys, you see. No money, nothing but a house and land with nobody to farm it. Daddy's mother married a doctor from the war. He was in the war, I think, a young doctor. Well, they moved from Virginia, which was poverty stricken, to Mississippi, which wasn't a whole lot better. And he didn't live too long, but he fathered 10 children.
Oh my.
Daddy was one of 10. They all lived to adulthood except one. And I think that's amazing.
It is amazing.
And of course, that was in the day when the doctors were paid with chickens and eggs and so forth. And the mother taught school, and many a time with a pallet over in the corner of the room and the latest baby. It was hard, hard going. Well, somehow the early boys, the older boys in that early day, got out to Oklahoma. That was B.B. and M. And they were in Chandler, and then they got to Bristol. I've forgotten all the details of that. And got into oil. And the older one, B.B., had married, and Mumford had married Mrs. Mumford Jones. And they had many, many dry holes. I think Mrs. Mumford Jones put her widow's money, she had been married before and her husband had died, last money, into it. And that was when they struck oil. Then they had good luck from
that wonderful.
Uh-huh. And those were hard days.
Well, now, did your father, did R.L. marry your mother before he came to Oklahoma? Or
no. My mother was from Mississippi, too, and she's a cousin, a third cousin or fourth or something, of Mrs. Mumford Jones. She came out to visit her cousin.
Oh.
She married her cousin's brother-in-law. Of course, Mumford was one of the older boys. Daddy was one of the next to the youngest one. And Mother and Daddy lived in Sapulpa for a while because he was, Lois says, assistant county treasurer. I'd always heard treasurer, but then, anyway. Then somehow he got into business with his brothers. And, but in the meantime, he'd married this cousin of his brother's wife. And Daddy and Mother lived in Cushing for a while. And it was pretty primitive. Mother said it was awful. And she can remember riding in a wagon with an old colored man from Cushing to Bristol. And, oh, it was ghastly, she said. The ruts were horrible. And the wagon wasn't comfortable. But anyway, now that was near Drumline, I think. Well, then they got to Cushing. And then that's when I entered the picture. Because I was living across the street. But anyhow, then they got over here to Bristol, and then Daddy was working with his brothers and acquired some means of his own, and that's where he stayed. Then the other brothers tried it, and most of them left, you know, and Mother's brothers too, and sister lived here at one time. But not many of them stayed on and on.
So your father was successful, very successful.
Yes, he was successful on his own. And he said, oh, he didn't think he did much, but I told him he did. I thought he had a good sense of business.
All right, now he had the office down there where the old Chevrolet place is. Mm-hmm. Did he have an office downtown before that you can remember of?
No. I can't remember anything before that, but he built that building, I think. And at one time, we lived up there. And that was maybe while they were working on this house, too. I don't know. But there were lots of people that lived up there. He had some school teachers.
Was it kind of a boarding?
Yes, uh-huh. I can remember that. I don't know who had it, unless it was Miss Jim Brown might have had it up there, but later she had a house of her own. She was a widow, Miss Jim Brown. But I can remember They were living up there when I married, because John came up there to see me when he was courting me. And then I think we must have moved from there out here. But that was a busy building, you see, three stories, and it's pretty roomy.
Did you happen to remember the opera house?
No, I don't remember the opera house. When I was a little girl, I heard the older people talking about
it. I think it burned before you probably came.
Right. And this is one thing I do remember about the opera house. I'd had my tonsils taken out, my operation. Well, this little girl's mind connected the word opera and operation. And I made the statement, Mother loved to tell this on me, that I said, well, isn't it a shame the opera house burned down? I could have had my operation there. Anyhow, but I don't remember it really burning. But I do remember these other places we live.
All right, now then, are there any businesses that stand out in your mind as a child that you went to? Like the, I remember Miss Klingensmith had a millinery.
Yes, and Cat's store, I can remember that.
A department store.
And, seems to me there were some stores, so many of them are gone now, where the community bank in is, there were some stores where we used to go. And then, I remember Jackson's Meat Market.
Oh,
you remember
yes,
that?
Yes, and they made deliveries.
Right, and then I can remember the Schrader Drugstore. I can remember the movie house. Oh my goodness, that was one thing I did get to do, was to go to the movie every Saturday afternoon. And I can't remember, but there would be cereals. Mm-hmm. And oh, we looked forward to that. Diamond Mind or something like that. I'd get.